fact that you get to live in this land, you are a blessed individual. The fact that you get to live in this land and are saved, you are a blessed individual tonight. You get to live in America and you're headed to heaven, you're blessed tonight. The fact that you're living in America and you're saved and get to come to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, you are a blessed individual tonight. God has been far better to you than you deserve this evening. Bless His name. Amen. Testify, Sister Lori. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. All of them. All of them. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 You get to think about everything the Lord did to get you the place where you got saved. And we're not Calvinists, but I'm going to tell you something. God and how God works in the lives of men and women, getting them to the place where He can work in their heart and life. I'm so thankful for the grace of God and how He does it. Wonderful testimony, Lori. All right, let's stand. The hour's getting away from us. But, amen, I feel like we need to just jump in this, okay? Psalm 8, I won't keep you all night. All right, just half of it. Amen. Psalm 8, verse number 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that Thou visitest him, for Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Father, we're thankful this evening for the word of the Lord. We're glad it's alive. We're glad that, Lord, we have it inspired, perfected, preserved, Lord, right down to our generation. The word of the Lord is abided forever. And Lord, we're glad this evening we can hold it in our hand, we can hear it in our ear, and Lord, we can be challenged from its truths tonight. And I pray on this Wednesday night, Lord, would you please speak to our hearts, encourage us in the things of God. May, Lord, our faith be rallied to that of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. And when we leave, may we leave comforted, may we leave challenged, may we leave corrected. God, may we leave, Lord, just excited and rejoicing in the Word from heaven tonight. And we'll bless you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I do know what time it is, so don't let the time kind of get y'all bent out of shape and miss something this evening. I'll not be long. Notice this with me. This is another Psalm of David. As we're preaching through in recent days, you've taken on the great task of preaching through the Psalms. We've now made our way to Psalm 8. And in this Psalm, you'll find that it's another Psalm of David. When you study the background of this Psalm, you'll find the exact time and the background behind David writing this Psalm is unknown. As you study, you'll find some have suggested different times. Many have suggested that it may have been written on the occasion of David going down in the valley of Elah and slaying Goliath of Gath. And how that David lifted that sword up, cut Goliath's head off, and silenced all the scorn and mockery that Goliath made against God and God's people. But we don't know when it was written. But we do know this. Amen. According to this Psalm, if you will, look with me back in verse number 1 and verse number 9, as we find a double divine emphasis given in this Psalm of that of the name of the Lord. The Bible said, O Lord, all capitalized, O Lord, that is Jehovah, our Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that is Master. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. As Psalm ends in verse number 9, saying the same statement, the same phrase, exclaiming of the same divine truth, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so this evening I'm interested, according to this opening verse and closing verse, David has in mind the excellency or the greatness of the name of the Lord, God of heaven. Now, if you will, look with me, and we're going to turn back in this passage in a moment. But in Hebrews chapter number 2, you'll find that the psalmist David, or rather the Apostle Paul quotes the psalmist David from this very psalm. Everything between verse number 1 and verse number 9, my friend, points to the excellency or the name, the excellency of the name of the Lord. Notice with me in Hebrews 2 and in verse number 6, the Apostle Paul said that one in a certain place testified, saith, and he's going to quote out of Psalm 8 this evening. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou didst put, that sounds like the psalm we've read, don't it? Amen. Notice what he said. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Or in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse number 9, but we see Jesus. In other words, when the Apostle Paul comes to the New Testament, amen, and he points back to Psalm 8, he said, really what all that was in Psalm 8, it was about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to make the statement this evening, the Old Testament Lord is the New Testament Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, Psalm 8 is magnifying. He said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. And so we could say tonight, amen, if the Apostle Paul clarified that this psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ, it has its ultimate fulfillment in him. And Psalm 8 really is about the, amen, the name of Jesus Christ. And so this evening, consider several truths with me in this statement by way of introduction. Amen, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. Notice with me the exclamation of his name. The exclamation of his name, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Amen. Notice the word how, and he
it's not a question. He's not asking it, amen, for an answer, but rather he's declaring, amen, the magnitude of, my friend, the truth that he's dealing with concerning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Satan and that, it ought to be exclaimed, amen. In fact, when he gets that, amen, when this statement, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, there's no period place there, there's no question mark place there, amen, there's no comma place there. Psalmist David is saying it, amen, with exclamation and with feeling and with excitement and with emphasis, amen, how excellent is his name in all the earth. Amen. Can I say that this is, amen, the truth that is found in the Word of God? All the Word of God is about him. Amen. Every page is about him. Every verse is about exclaiming, amen, that wonderful, saving, magnified name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will, look at a few verses with me. Hold your place there. And look in Ephesians and in chapter number 1. In Ephesians chapter number 1, let's just exclaim some things about the name of the Lord. Is his name to be exclaimed? You better believe it. Amen. In Ephesians 1 and in verse number 21, amen, he's talking about Christ, and he said in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Listen now, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And so is the name of the Lord Jesus magnified? Is it exclaimed tonight? Is it something that, my friend, we ought to be excited about tonight? Evidently it is, because God has given the name of Christ, said, amen, to be elevated and to be above all, amen, names that are named. Amen. Somebody said that, amen, that the name of Elvis and live on. Amen. There's regions in this world, my friend, amen, where men don't know anything about Elvis, said, amen. But the Bible said in Revelation that when we get to heaven, my friend, out of every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and they're going to look at him, the Lord Jesus, said, and they'll praise him for his wonderful name. Amen. A name that is above all names, said, amen. John Lennon, the Beatles, said, Elvis, Hitler, amen, all the names of human history that stand out. And yet, my friend, there's one whose name has been exclaimed above every name this evening, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know Philippians in chapter 2 and in verse number 9, the Bible said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name. Amen. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying, David said in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how magnified, how uplifted, how exalted is your name in all the earth, exclamation point. And my friend, God in Christ has given him a name that is above every name. In fact, he said that at the name of Jesus, said, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and in every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so, amen, the Father is exclaimed at this name, my friend, has been magnified and it has been exalted. Look with me in the book of Hebrews and in chapter number 1. Hebrews in chapter number 1, and look with me in verse number 4. Notice what the Bible said, being made, speaking of Christ now, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. You think about Gabriel and the name, amen, of Gabriel the angel, amen, the archangel, and how much power, amen, how much authority, amen, all that is accomplished. And yet, Apostle Paul said, I want to exclaim at that God God has said, amen, in Christ made him better than the angels said, and exalted him, and it is his inheritance, and he has obtained a more excellent name, amen, than Gabriel, amen, than Lucifer, and any other created angelic being, at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ said, is to be exclaimed to be greater than all. Exclamation in this name. Notice we've met. Amen. When we come back to Psalm 8, and our phrase is this, this psalm centers around the truth, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Notice the exclamation of his name. Notice the extension of his name. He said that his name is known in all the earth. Amen. In all the earth. It's a statement that reveals a name of Jesus can be experienced by anywhere and by anyone who will receive it. And remember, my friend, when Peter got up, he said, there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. What is it? It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in that name. And that name is to be published and preached. Amen. And proclaimed in every land. And so, our Lord, how, that is the exclamation of his name, how excellent is that name in all the earth, the extension of his name. Notice with me the excellency of his name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How excellent means this. It means great. He's saying, how great is your name in all the earth. It means, my friend, powerful. It means glorious. Does this not sound like the Lord? It means majestic. It means mighty. It means splendid. It means stately. It means distinguished. Amen. That the name of Jesus, amen, is an excellent name. It's distinguished above every other name. Friend, it's more stately than any other name. It's more majestic than any other name. When you say the name Jesus, amen, you're using a name, amen, that is more excellent than any other name. Amen. It is a descriptive word. The word excellent is a descriptive word. And in your King James Bible is used to describe a leader, a warrior, a captain, or a savior. Amen. Is that not who we serve tonight? Is that not who we ought to be making much of tonight? It matters not that how much you know about Jeff, and it matters a whole lot that you know a lot about him, man. That name's nothing in that. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to have a good name. I'm trying to have an excellent name. I'm trying, my friend, to live up, amen, to the name that my daddy has passed on to me. And my friend, at the end of the day, I falter, I fail, man. Amen. There's not much majestic about me yet. And before you begin to snicker, and before you begin to throw stones, and before you begin to shout too loud right there, amen, your name fails too. And thank God there's a name that is above every name. And David said, how excellent, how in the world, amen, do you exalt that name as excellent and great and splendid as it is. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought at this psalm, and I'll be honest with you. Amen. I don't even know how all this is going to kind of fit together, and so I need the Lord to kind of make it make sense to us. Amen. It's an easy psalm. It's easy to read. It's easy to study. But Brother Jay, I've really found it hard to put together the way that it's been in my heart and my mind, and so y'all pray for me. And we preach on this thought, the excellency of the name of Jesus. Amen. This psalm begins with it. This psalm ends with it. Amen. 9 verses, everything, amen, between verse 1 and verse 9 is about the excellency of the name of Jesus. In fact, amen, according to verse 1, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in the earth. He's dealing with the excellency of the name of Jesus in the earth. And then he said, who has set thy glory above the heaven. Amen. He's dealing with the fact And it's not only excellent in the earth, amen, but it is exalted in the heavens. Amen. Heaven and earth, what's it about? It's about Jesus. Amen. Heaven and earth matters not. Amen. This side of eternity or the other side of eternity. And friend, it's all about Him. Amen. Now listen, as David begins to go through this psalm, there's two main points I want to point out, and then we'll be done tonight. I'm interested tonight, amen, the excellency of the name of Jesus. As David, my friend, considers this, as David is exalting this thought tonight, amen, notice with me, I believe tonight, in verses 3 down through verse number 8, that there are visitations to ponder. There are visitations for our pondering. When we think about His name and the excellency of His name, amen, His name tells us who He is, and His name magnifies His authority. His name, my friend, testifies of some magnificent truths. And David said in verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We don't know the background that he wrote this psalm under, but Brother Tony, evidently, he's writing it in the night time. And David steps out. I don't know if he's out of a cave. I don't know if he's on the run from Saul. I don't know if he's on his palace. Amen. His palace porch. Amen. But somewhere David steps out in the night time. And he's beginning to think in the name of the Lord. And he looks up in the heavens. He sees the stars, amen, a twinkling. He sees the moon in all its glory lifted up. And David said, man, what a mighty God. What an excellent name, this God, this one. And is my Savior and my Lord. Amen, how excellent must His name be. And David said, when I consider now, when the human eye, he's able to say, amen, a couple of thousand stars, amen, he's able to see just a handful, but beyond what the human eye can see. I mean, there's untold billions and billions of galaxies that hold billions of stars apiece. Amen. And David's looking up and he said, man, what a God, what a Lord, what a Savior we have. So he looks up and he sees the magnitude of all that and considers the name of the God and is His Lord and Savior. He said, who am I? What am I? What is man? That thou art mindful. That word man is Enos, and it deals, my friend, amen, with weakness and frailty. Amen. And then he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man, that deals with that. And that word literally means of the earth. A son that come out of the earth. A son that came out of the dust. That thou visitest him, David said, and there is something, there are visitations for our pondering. When we think about his name and we think about all that he is, David said, this is the one that with his own very fingers has flung out the stars in the galaxy. This is the one that with his very hands has hung the moon in the, amen, in the space. This is the one that has made all that is. Now who are we that God would visit you and I? Now when we consider this, and by the way, thank God he does visit us. Thank God tonight that there are visitations for our pondering. That my friend, as David takes in a view under the dark night sky, amen, all the creative power of God, he is amazed at the Lord. Amen, we come and visit mankind. Amen, but notice I want to use two ways to apply this truth to Jesus Christ tonight. Number one, there is the prophetical view. And this is good. If y'all will pray, God will help me get it across. Amen, I think there's something here for us, amen, to be excited about. And to be helped by and to shout on the net. The prophetical view, amen, I believe that David has in mind, amen, the prophetical view that Jesus, amen, condescended to mankind. And he condescended to mankind. He said, man, I'm looking in the stars and the moon, and I'm amazed that God would visit you and God would visit me. And notice what he said as he leaves his throne pondering upon this visitation. As speaking of man, he said, for thou hast made him, speaking of Adam, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. By the way, the evolutionist and liberal of our day says that mankind is little better than animals. God said we're a little lower than the angels. And there is a major difference. I ain't got time to hunt that with that dog right there. But, amen, we've been made a little lower than angels. Oh, this with me, that he said in his crown him with glory and honor. And made us him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Has put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field. A fowl of the air. A fish in the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. What is David doing? David is taking you and I back. Amen. To God's original intention for mankind when he created man. There were three things David points out that man was created with. Number one, notice we met that man was created. Amen. When he was created, he was given distinction. He was made little lower than the angels. Amen. That speaks. Remember when God made man, what did he say? He said, after he made, amen, cattle and fish and birds and trees and grass and land and amen, light and day and night and moon and stars. Amen. He come down the sixth day and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And that's exactly what the Lord did. And he distinguished him. He was given distinction from all other creation. Mankind is special to God. Amen. Man walked with God. Man taught with God. Man, my friend, was given a distinct set and was set apart from the rest of God's creation. On this is we met, and he was not only given distinct set, but he was given diadem. On this what he said, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Amen. Mankind, Adam, amen, wore a crown of creation upon his head. Amen. Was given diadem, was given special glory and special honor in the day of creation. Are y'all with me? Amen. I'm talking about David's taking us back. He's saying God made the moon and the stars, and I'm amazed that he has visited us. You say, Brother Jeff, what's this got to do with a visitation prayer pondering about? Amen. Christ condescended to man. Hang with me now. Amen. Our original intent and original creation, we are given distinction. We are given diadem. Amen. Listen, in verses 6 through 8, he was given dominion. Amen. God, when he made man, he said in Genesis 1, he said, I'm going to give you dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, a beast in the field, over everything that creepeth on the earth. Mankind is going to have dominion over that. David is now writing several thousands of years later. And he says, but Gerald, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visitest him? And he begins to describe, amen, what man was in the Garden of Eden, distinction, diadem, and dominion. But listen to me, in David's day, and in our day, man is not living in that distinction. Man is not living under that diadem. And man is not living with that dominion. In fact, there's no dominion at all. Man has been sold into sin. Man has been in bondage to sin. We're not living. Are y'all in the building in that? Amen. So what is David saying? He's saying, I can't believe that the God of glory that's made everything that he is, that made man, and man messed it up and enslaved himself to sin. I can't believe that that same God would come back and visit us. When did he do that? Well, go back to Hebrews in chapter number 2. Hebrews 2, and we'll read it again in verse number 6. Oh, dear God, please help me to bring all this together. Amen. Are y'all trying to be with me? Amen. Try your best. Let me see your Bible. Said in Hebrews 2, look on with Sam there so you don't miss it. But one in a certain place testified. And you know this, the book of Hebrews, who's it all about? It's all about Jesus. He's better than angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Melchizedek. Amen. He's got a better testament. And he's taking us to a better country. And it's all about him. Amen. But one testifying in a certain place. Psalm 8, David testifying in a certain place. Amen. Saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him in glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Or in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Notice the period there. He is quoting what David said about God's original intention for mankind. Was to be distinct, to have deity, and to rule over God's creation in dominion. Notice how this verse ends. He says something David didn't say. Amen. He said, but now, is that what it said? But now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, man is not living yet what God intended man to live in. He's lost it. Where'd he lose it? He lost it in the fall. Amen. His distinction, I mean, all he is now is an old wicked sinner headed to hell. He's got no crown of glory and honor on his head. He's got scars that he bears of the marks of sin in his leg. He's got no dominion. Amen. Sin reigns his leg. The devil ruins his leg. Amen. Now we see not yet all things put under him. Notice what he said in verse 9. But we see Jesus. That man that my friend God made. Amen. In Adam to be distinct. That man that God made in Adam. Amen. To wear a diadem and a crown of glory and a crown of honor. That one that my friend God made in Genesis 1 and had dominion. Paul said, man lost it. Man failed at it. We see Jesus. And Jesus has been given. Amen. That distinction. That diadem and that dominion. We see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you, but watch this now. What's the prophetical view? A prophetical view is this. Amen. Verse 9, we see Jesus who is made a little lower than the angels. That's how he made man in the beginning. Amen. That distinction. Amen. Jesus coming right on down. The excellency of his name is this. And when man lost it all that God had given, here came Jesus. Right on time, in time, made a little lower than the angels made in the image, amen, and the likeness, amen, fulfilling the original intention that God made man to have. Hang with me now, watch it, but we see Jesus. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. There's your distinction. There's your diadem. Amen. And what did Jesus say? He said before he left and ascended back into heaven, he looked at his church and he said, all power's given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got dominion. Now watch it now. Here's the condescension. He said, amen, in verse number 9, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. God makes man, puts him in the garden, distinction, diadem, dominion, and man chooses sin over the sovereign, and he loses everything given to him. Paul said, amen, the likeness in that first Adam, amen, is the last Adam is Cain, and we see him, and he has taken on everything that God made man to be. Amen. Now listen, when he came to do one thing, to taste death for every man. all of the Adamic race that has been plunged into sin, Christ condescended from the portals of glory, laid aside His glory, lay aside the worship, laid aside the praise, and wrapped Himself in the robe of the Adamic race, came and lived and breathed and carried on yet without sin for the purpose of suffering. Amen. For sin, and He by the grace of God, amen, could taste death for you and death for me, death for my children, death for your children. Amen. Why? Now notice with me, why did He do all this? Look with me in verse number 17. Are y'all in the building? Watch this now. Lord, please help me. Verse 17, Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, and there's a lot of things we could preach in this chapter about this. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, and He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Here it is, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He had to come, condescend, and visit man in an earthly body, that He can go and taste death for every man, that in doing so, Brother Tony, He might reach out and grab you one day, amen, and reach back and grab that original intent that God had for you and I to live in and reconcile us back to God. Amen. No wonder David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man and thou visitest him? A prophetical view, look down, amen, through time and say, and God would send His Son, and God wrapped in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, amen, would bring us back to God, Dad, amen, through a vision that He would make one day. Reconciled back to God through a visit that the Lord Jesus, no wonder He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. It's high time we make much of Him after He came, amen, to this earth and came to you and I and to mankind in all our sin and all our wickedness and all our rebellion and walking away from the plan and intent of God. And God, my friend, would send His Son and send Himself, amen, back to mankind, fallen. David said, O Lord, our Lord, Lord, how excellent is Thy name. What a name it is to have a God that would be so loving and kind. Jesus, this truth is, Jesus is merciful of sinners. He came, the old songwriter said this, when I could not go to where He was, He came to me. Mankind was lost in sin and had no hope, but thank God, God came and made a visit and is reconciling mankind back to what God wants us to be. Amen. Now there's the prophetical view, but then there's the practical view. Notice what David said. He said, when I consider the work of Thy fingers, the moon and stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Are y'all in there, Psalm 8? What is man that Thou art mindful of him? The practical view, my friend, is this, that Jesus not only condescended to mankind, but that Jesus cares for mankind. He's saying, and listen, we don't know where David is, but David's life was a life of problems. It was a life of battles. It was a life of troubles. It was a life of shedding tears. And David is now looking up in the night sky, and he sees all that God has made. And David's mind is blown away at how big and excellent the name of Jesus really is. And then he begins to think back to every time that Jesus has been there, every time that the Lord has been mindful of him, amen, and cared for him through every trouble and pain. And he said, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? In His condescension, Jesus is merciful to sinners, but in His care, Jesus is mindful of sinners. How many times, let me just tell you how excellent the name of the Lord is. How wonderful it is.
How many times, Brother Charlie, have you had a problem that nobody else knew about, but the Lord knew about it, and the Lord was mindful to help you bear that need? How many times, Sister Betty, you testified of it a moment ago. In fact, it's so many times we can't even remember all the times that God has heard your crying. God has heard the tears, amen, that cried out down your cheek. And God has seen the sleepless nights and the midnight hours. He saw the agony of His saints in prayer with a burden upon their heart. And He has ran to their rescue and been mindful of their need. No wonder we can say how excellent is His name. We're nothing, but He's everything. We're zeros, but thank God He sits on a throne in heaven, and His name is excellent because our visitations to ponder are times when we can think back and say every time God has been faithful. You say, oh, I can testify when God wasn't faithful, you'd be the first one in human history. Amen. I'm glad He's been faithful. I'm glad that my friend He's been mindful. I'm glad that He's been aware. I'm glad that, yes, His eyes on the sparrow. But Jesus said, amen, my eyes going to be watching you. I'm watching the lilies tall in the valley, but I'm watching you. I'm aware of your needs, and I'm aware of what you're going through. Amen. No wonder we ought to, amen, we ought to pause for a little while. Amen. And exclaim the excellency of His name for being there every time we've needed a visit. How many times you've been all alone that you found out you wasn't all alone? Amen. I don't know if you're this way. I'm this way. When I'm going through something, I don't want to be bothered. Amen. Now there's other people there the other way. If they got a problem, they got to go tell it to everybody. They're going to go make visits. They want visits. They want a lot of attention. And I'm not saying one way is better than the other. Just my personality is, if I'm going through something, just leave me alone. Amen. If I'm sick, amen, if I'm sick, I don't want much attention. Just leave me alone. Leave me in my misery. I'll sit there. I'll pray. I'll die. Just don't fool with me. There's been times, man, I was going through it and didn't nobody know what I was going through. Nobody knew the hurt and the pain. My friend laying there, oh, what I thought to be all alone, nobody coming by and visited. Thank God, God would come down many a midnight hours. He's been faithful. Amen. To be mindful, my friend, of what I was going through. Oh, Elijah found himself on the run, all alone, up under a juniper tree, praying, dear God, just let me die. Amen. Only to find that God knows where the juniper tree is. Amen. Showed up, paid him a visit in a still small voice. Amen. And sent him on down life's journey. Amen. With joy in his heart. Well, because there was a visitation. God was mindful of where He was. God's mindful of you tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I feel like somebody needs to hear this tonight. I don't know what you're going through. But the same God that hung the stars and the moon in the sky is mindful of where you are. Amen. There ain't nothing come your way this week. Man, Monday, I got a phone call, and it just really, amen, when I got it, Brother Danny, it really just for a minute, it set me back. Amen. And then about yesterday, amen, I got thinking, Sister Betty, all the times that God, amen, in this similar situation has been there and worked it out, and I just began to praise God and think, hallelujah, He's still on the throne. He's always been there, and sooner or later He's going to show up in this situation. Don't know what you're going through. There's nothing that's come your way that He don't know about and He's not mindful of. And He can't come down just like that and take care of what it is you face. There are visitations for our pondering. Number two, and it ain't nearly as long. I'm done in about 3 minutes. Verse number two. Verse 1, our thought is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name, the excellency of His name. We find in that there are visitations for our pondering. But verse 2, listen to this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mattest still the enemy and the avenger. In light of the excellency of his name, in fact, in light of the excellency of his name and the visitations he has made, David said mankind ought to be praising him with their mouth. It is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, David said, that God has ordained strength. Mankind is dust, he's dirt, he's earthly, he is weak and frail. Compared to God, we're just a little old baby. Helpless. Can't clothe ourselves, can't feed ourselves, can't walk on our own two feet. We're like that discarded baby over in the book of Ezekiel that's been left for dead. And what does God say? What does God say through the psalmist David? He said, hey, God can take the weak things of this world. And if they'll but glorify and magnify and make much of the excellency of that name that's been placed above every name. God gives strength where there's weakness. It's the truth that the Apostle Paul gave the church at Corinth. That God, my friend, has taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That the weakness of God is still greater than the power mankind could ever muster up. Should we praise God? You better believe we praise God. You say, I don't feel like it. Well, watch this. David said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Because of thine enemies. David said, God, you've got enemies. And they're out to be against God, and they're out, Brother Jerry, to be against God's people. And it is through the praise that is offered up of God's people that God gives victory. You see, the excellence of His name, there's not only visitations for our pondering, but there is victory in our praise. When you begin to think about how excellent His name is, it ought to stir you to worship and praise Him like you've never done before in your life. Why? Because there's an enemy out to mock and scorn our God and out to rob you of your joy and to rob you of your satisfaction in the Lord. And David said, when you begin to praise, there is something about that that God uses to defeat the enemy and give victory back to God's people. Amen. Are y'all in the building? I heard Brother Joe Arthur say one time, shout your way out of your problems. I didn't understand all that, but probably until here recently and even through this scripture, David is saying, if you've got an enemy, quit focusing on your enemy. Focus on the excellency of His name. Praise Him for it, and God will whoop the enemy and give you victory. Here's our mentality, and it's humanistic and it's earthly. Well, I'll shout, I'll praise God when the victory comes. I'll shout, I'll praise God when the prayers answer. I'll shout, I'll praise God when the problem's over. When the dust is settled and everything's made right, then I'll shout the victory. David said, you better shout in the midst of the battle, because it's in the midst of the battle when you praise God. As I said in the early part of the service, your praise is the stick that God whoops the devil with. But Joe, he says, hey, old devil, you get to be the devil tonight. He said, hey, devil, did you see Brother Allen over there? You've been working against him and he's still praising my name. What do you think about that, old devil? Amen. He says, you see old Tony going through everything he's going through, and he's still raising his hand in church. He's tired on Wednesday, still going and praising God. What do you think about that, old Lucifer? You ain't as big as you think you are.
Yes, that's right.
God gives victory in our praise. I'll be with you. Honest with you, I don't always feel like shouting. I don't feel like raising my hand. There's been times, man, I've come in, I put on a show. On the inside, I was dragging my tracks out. But there's something about getting in God's house and somebody going to singing and magnifying the excellency of His name, bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just something about that I got to say, amen! Yes, He's all in all and above all. And there's something about you do that long enough. Something begins to stir in on the inside. And my friend, them same tracks you're dragging out, son, you leave kicking up dust and excited with victory in your soul. You saw that super spiritual preacher. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. That's what the verse says. God whoops the enemy through the praises of His people. It's illustrated in the Old Testament at the battle of what we call the Battle of Jericho. Wasn't a battle at all. God's people's up against it. God said, walk around, keep your mouth shut. 6 days, walk around one time. 7 days, walk around seven times, keep your mouth shut. When you get back around, just magnify and praise the name of God. When they did, the wall fell and the battle was over. What is He teaching us? He's teaching us there's times you praise your way to victory. Not on the situations of life. Man, this is a long 3 minutes, ain't it? Not on the basis of the circumstance and situation, but on who He is. I praise Him when things are good and things are bad because His name is excellent. He's never failed. He showed up when I was in sin. He went to Calvary. He's been there through every problem of life. And now I must make much of the excellency of His name. In the New Testament, this verse is applied in the life of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, the end of His life, the end of His ministry, comes in the temple. And son, He blisters that crowd and He gets up, He blisters them. He said, you made this house a den of thieves. God said it's be the house of prayer. He's turning over tables. He's giving them just a good chat about the house of God. In the midst of all that chaos that's going on, and the Lord blistering their head, this little old group of kids come in. And the Bible said they're loud about it. They weren't like some of y'all. They got loud. They got emotional. And they got worked up. And they came in. If I had any half a voice left, I'd illustrate it. They come in, Brother A.L., saying, Hosanna. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. That's the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What are they doing? They're just bragging on the excellency of the name of Jesus. And the old Pharisaical crowd, you going to stop them? You going to shut them youngins up? They ain't got nothing to be excited. You going to let this go on and on? Jesus reached back the Old Testament, Psalm 8. He said, have you not read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? He said, what did it do? It shut the mouth of every one of them stinking Pharisees. Hallelujah. He stilled them. He quieted them down. He said, it ain't about y'all. It ain't about what you think they're worthy of doing or not doing, what they ought to do and not do. It's about who I am. And God has perfected praise out of the mouth of weaklings and people who can't even stand on their own 2 feet. It's not the crowd that's got it all together that praises God that God gets glory out of. It's the crowd that is weak and frail that says, I'm going to praise God anyway because of who He is. That is perfect praise. You don't have to be perfect praise. You just got to be weak and frail and magnify His name, and praise is perfected. Father, I love You tonight. I'm so thankful for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Lord, this psalm's really encouraged my heart, Lord. And Lord, really years gone by, but Lord, recently studying it afresh and anew again. Lord, I'm so thankful for the excellency, the wonder, the splendor, the majesty, the magnitude of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it by faith this evening that His name is above all names. That, Lord, He's been given and He has obtained and been given an inheritance, Lord, of a name that's above all. So, Lord, I pray this evening, help us to magnify and make much of Him. Lord, help us tonight to make little of ourselves and much of the Lord Jesus tonight. Lord, we have been guilty too many days, Lord, of sitting around and being more interested in everybody else and what they're going through and what they are or what they're not, that we've lost sight of the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, I pray, restore to us our excitement, our joy, the exclamation points of our Christian life about Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that, Lord, every day of our life, live from now to the time the trumpet sounds, would be lived in light of the excellency of the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I'm done, man.